Thank you for downloading this podcast from Awakening Church.
So for that, we're thankful. We honor you today, Jesus. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. You're so wonderful. You're so magnificent, Jesus. We just give you glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. I just want to stay here just a moment, though. Just feel the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to rush past that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word of revelation regarding fear. Thank you, God, for your word of revelation regarding fear. We just bless you today. We bless you today. The Bible says that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so the idea is, if I'm thinking with fear, I'm not thinking with a sound mind, because he's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so I just want our hearts today to be engaged with that, that our thinking would be clearly defined in regards to the situations that we see, not only in our life, but also in our nation, that we would not approach them from a place of fear, but that we would approach them from a place of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because he wants to speak to us. We spoke last week about developing an ear to hear, and I want to continue in that vein today. It's so imperative when we see issues and we see circumstances like what Keisha was praying about, that we're able to hear the voice of the Father, and we're able to hear what he has to say, and not just what a cultural media has to say, but that we hear the voice of the Father. And the truth of the matter is that the Father is sad because one of his sons was taken prematurely. And he's also sad because another one of his sons acted in a way, whatever your judgment is, it doesn't matter. It caused strife and it caused issues. And so we have to hear the heart of the Father. And that is, like Keisha was praying, that the heart of the Father would come to our nation, and that we would receive his love, and that we would receive his wooing, and that we would hear him. And not that we would just hear him, but that, like today, when we spent 15 or 20 minutes in intercession, we heard him and it moved us to action. A lot of the problem that the world has with the church is that we're always saying we hear, or do this, but it doesn't move the church to action. And so I really want us today to understand that God, he doesn't just give us revelation so that we can sit down and hide and say, oh, hey, that was great. He gives us revelation so that we can move to action and do something and become a voice in the earth. That's really what he does. And so I want to just continue in that vein today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is the same account of what we read last week in Mark, with a little different twist. We're going to read a little more, a few more verses today than we did last week. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 5. Now when the disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? Jesus is referencing miracles that he did regarding multiplying food for 5,000 and then 4,000. How is it, verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they, being the disciples, understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In Luke chapter number 12, Jesus calls the leaven of the Pharisees hypocrisy. And so we have to put all of this together when he's talking to us so that we understand that. Verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So much in this text and so much in this scripture that we can pull from, and we're going to try to pull just a few things out today. But I want us to understand that God has never in the history of mankind changed his mind or his approach about how he wants his people to be led. He never changed his mind. He always wanted his people to be led by a voice and not by a system. He wanted from the very beginning for Adam and Eve to hear the voice of the Lord. It moved them to action and for them to have dominion over the earth. That is what he's wanted from the very beginning. It never changed. Even when Israel begged for a king, even when they had corrupt kings, it was not the system that God intended for them. So when Jesus comes on the scene, the Israelites and the children of Israel still think that Jesus is going to fix their political system and fix their issues. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus came to transform a culture so that they could hear once again. He came to fix a messed up system of sacrifices, a messed up system of Pharisees and Sadducees and religious persona. He came to fix that so that the people could once again hear. He always wanted his people to be led by a prophetic voice. Because that is the case, there are so many things that hinder us and that the enemy throws at us to hear something different than what God would say to us. What did the serpent say when he came to Eve? He challenged what she had heard from God and said, it's not really the way you heard it. He's really not going to be upset with you if you eat of the fruit. He was challenging the way that she could hear and the way that she could perceive what it was that God had said to her. And so the challenge for us today in 2013 is to become a body that has an ear with no filters so that we can hear exactly what it is that God is saying. And so just from last week, we learned four things. We learned that we have to understand the magnitude of the moment that we're in. Just as John the Baptist understood that he was a forerunner for Jesus, in the time that John the Baptist lived, he was able to say, now behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He was able to say, this is the moment we're in. Yes, the kingdom of God is coming. Here it is. We're in that moment. And for us to be able to say, this is the time. This is the forerunner generation. This is the generation that will usher in the coming of the Lord. I don't know when it will be. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I understand that I am living in a time where the moment is so big that I have to realize that everything that I do is dictated by what the Father is saying. Why? Because I want to be like Jesus. And Jesus said, I only do what the Father does, and I only say what the Father says. And if I'm going to say what the Father says and do what the Father does, I have to be able to hear him clearly. How many of you believe that there are times where something is said to you and you hear completely opposite of what came out of the person's mouth? Because of your perception, because of your belief about the situation, because of your relationship. Hello, men. I'm finna tell on us. We have what's called selective hearing. We hear select parts of what the women say. However, they have selected memory, but I'm not finna go there. Hey, come on, preach. I'm not going there. Whew, I felt that right there. We have to understand the magnitude of the moment that we are in so that we can hear. Number two, we have to have intimate experiential knowledge of who God really is. We've got to know him. The reason that we can get over things, even if we hear incorrectly in our marriage, is because we have knowledge. We have come to an understanding that I'm not trying to hurt Rebecca and she's not trying to hurt me. I've just got to be able to hear correctly and see correctly. I can't even do this in Jesus' name. Y'all are wild out there. I'm not even trying to talk about marriage today. We have to have intimate experiential knowledge of who God really is. We have to know him. We have to know the ins and outs. We have to know what he's thinking. We have to know what he likes. Why do we spend so much time in worship? Because he said, I like it, and I inhabit the praises of my people. We have to know what God likes. Number three, we have to have, according to Jeremiah 6:10, a circumcised ear. God said that he could not speak to the children of Israel because their ear was uncircumcised. In other words, there was something covering their ear that should have been cut off in the private place. Jesus. Number four, we have to have a covenant with the altar. Leviticus chapter 8, verses 22 through 24. So we understand these things that God is trying to speak to us so that our hearing is clear and that we can move from hearing to doing. We also understand that medically, if you have issues with your ear, it throws your equilibrium off. If you have issues with your ear, you walk often out of balance or you feel like you're about to fall. And I just believe that what has happened in America is that the church has had issues with their ear and they've been walking out of balance. And so what the world is seeing, they say, I want no part of it, because we've not been walking close with an ear to hear what God is really saying. So I want us to move today from a place of hearing into doing, but we have to make sure that everything is removed from our ear and that we can hear. Amen? This account that we just read is not much different at all from the account we read in Mark 8 last week, but it does vary somewhat. What's interesting is that both writers hear the same thing that Jesus is saying. They write it just a little differently. But then what's really amazing to me is that after Jesus has this discourse about the leaven with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that the writers record two different things. In Mark's account, if you'll read it, Mark says that Jesus immediately went and healed a blind man from Bethsaida. If you remember in Mark's discourse, what he said was, are you like the other people who have eyes but cannot see and ears but cannot hear? And so immediately after that, Jesus goes to heal someone who is blind, because what he's doing is proving to them, you're not going to have something and not be able to use it. But in Matthew's account, he begins to talk to Peter and the disciples and asking, who do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am? And so it's so interesting to note that in both accounts, Jesus is healing and testing the words that he just spoke. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. As you position yourself to hear from God and really develop an ear to what he's saying, you have to understand this. You have to learn that God will always test what he has just taught you. He will always test you and what he has just released to you to make sure that you're understanding and hearing clearly. You have to remember that God always works from the spiritual to affect the natural. And so in this particular discourse, as Jesus is talking to the disciples, he's literally trying to bring transformation to the culture. We have to understand that as a body of Christ, what he is wanting us to do is to bring transformation to the culture. The prayer was never bring the earth to the kingdom. The prayer was always bring the kingdom to the earth. And so he really does expect us to live by every word that is proceeding out of his mouth. He really does expect for us to live by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. And he expects us, watch this, not to live based on a natural means or a system that attempts to only pacify our physical needs. I want you to catch that. This is why he said in the book of Matthew, seek first, what? The kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Just prior to him saying, seek first the kingdom of God, he says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. The Father will take care of you if you seek first the kingdom of God. You have to understand that that is completely against the culture that we live in today. It's complete. There's a man in psychology. His name's Abraham Maslow. And he literally came up with a hierarchy of needs that said, we have to worry about food. We have to worry about water. We have to worry about shelter. Those are the primary needs. And it goes on. There's a list of those. Those are the primary needs that we have to worry about. And Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to live. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things will be added to you. If our minds and our affections are always set on the natural, then that is the thought process, the natural, that governs the way that we approach our lives. We were never called to approach our lives based on a natural system. We were called to approach our lives as a citizen from another country, as a citizen from the kingdom that God sent his Holy Spirit, the governor, to work in our lives so that we would what? That we would take dominion for the king on earth. Are you with me today? That's why Jesus said through the writer, set your affections on what? On things above. Set your affections on things above. If your affections are totally 100% focused here, you are going to live a life of disappointment. Why? Because your life will be based on an ever-changing, corrupt culture that is moving and shifting if you base your life solely on what you see right here. Set your affections on things above. You cannot gauge your life in a value system that's based on a corrupt, changing culture. Why? Because it's fueled by secular humanism. It's fueled not by revelation from the king. It's fueled not by revelation from his word. It's fueled by our ability to apply our intellect. I know you're smart. I know we are all smart. But can I promise you that his ways are higher than our ways? Can I promise you that he knows above all else what we have need of? And he knows it before we ever ask or think. And what the church has done, help me to preach right here. What the church has done has said, you know what? I want to take these ideas from secular humanism because that's what everybody is gravitating to. That's what everybody is going to. And so I want to take that and I want it to infiltrate the church. And then what happens is when you allow that to infiltrate your life, then as a minister, if you minister that, that's what you're ministering. You're not ministering the power of the Holy Spirit. You're ministering out of power of human secularism that says, if you will apply this principle and you'll do this and you'll do that, then in this world you can walk. But Jesus said, I did not come to be a part of the world. I came to overtake the world. And what he's looking for is a body who is willing to move into a place of revelation that understands that human secularism is at its best human. And it's still faulty. And it is not the highest point. Just like they were praying a while ago, Jennifer was praying. She said, it's not just a mental ascent. It's not just that we get to this place and we understand, okay, God, you're up there somewhere. But I don't know if you're really involved in my daily life. He said, I want you to be my ambassador so that you can take dominion because I'm your father, the king. We were never, oh Jesus, we spend so much time trying to adapt so that we fit in. We spend so much time trying to adapt, making sure we've got the latest style, making sure that we've got the newest technological gadget. I'm guilty. I love gadgets. I love gadgets, but we spend so much time trying to make sure that we're on the cutting edge of a corrupt system. Why do we spend so much time trying to fit in to a corrupt system? We were never meant to fit in. We were meant to take over. Come on, we were meant to take over this corrupt, ever-changing system. So Jesus begins to address this and he says, listen, why do you think that I'm still talking about bread? Do you not remember that there were 5,000 men, not including women and children? And how many baskets did you take up? There were 4,000 men, not including women and children. And how many baskets did you take up? I don't need bread. I don't need bread. That's not what he's saying. So he's correcting their ability to hear. And he begins to probe to see if they've learned what he's saying. And not just have they learned what he's saying, watch this, but who is the dominant voice that you're listening to? Who is the dominant voice that is speaking into your life? Because Jesus will always, always test your ability to learn from what he is saying. Look what he says. Who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Are the things that you are hearing influencing your ability to distinguish what truth is? Do you hear me? Or does the voice of man have a hold on your ear that is affecting your ability to see me rightly and hear the strategy for the next season? You have to understand that Jesus, I've said this 1,000 times, he never wasted words. He was always taking us somewhere with what he was saying. He was always moving us to a new revelation. He was always moving us to a deeper place. And what he is asking these men right here is, can you hear me above the screams of a corrupt culture? And I see him standing over his church in America and saying, can you hear me over the screams of a corrupt culture? Can you hear me over the screams of corrupt media? Can you hear me? Or are you still worried about whether or not we have enough bread? Can you? I'm in the boat with you, disciples. We're going to the other side. I have broken bread and multiplied it. I've done miracles before you. I've turned water into wine. All of the physical things that you think are determining your worth, I have the ability to multiply with just my word. Can you hear me, or are you worried about having a piece of bread? Do you understand that on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says that their hearts burned within them as Jesus came after his death and resurrection, and begins to talk to them. He begins to talk to these disciples, and he's asking what happened. They're explaining to him what's going on. And the Bible says that they were astounded, but at this time, they still didn't know who he was. They didn't understand. And so he's talking to them, and he begins to unfold the story of the prophets. He begins to say, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what led to where you are right now and where I am. And the Bible says that after they convinced him to come to their house and he broke bread and blessed it, then their eyes were open and they saw him. What are you saying? I'm glad that their hearts were burning on the inside of them. But why do we have to get to a place, help me, Jesus, where the only thing we can see him through is if he blesses our physical needs? They did not even understand who he was until he broke bread and blessed it and gave it to them. He had just given revelation to men who knew the law, who knew about the prophets, opened it up, unfolded it from the prophets until him, and they didn't even see who he was until he met a physical need. And so he says, can you hear me above the yell of a corrupt culture? Or are you still worried about having enough bread? There's 4 things that you have to understand, that if you can't hear what the Spirit is saying, you will miss the strategy for the next move. You'll be surrounded by confusion, which God is not the author of. You'll have anemic faith, and you will never have a voice. Jesus said this. Jesus said in John chapter 6 that the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. He goes on to tell the disciples, if you want to partake of me, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they thought, this man's crazy. As soon as he begins to talk, they say, eat his flesh and drink his blood. Not sure about it. This guy is out. And Jesus looks at the disciples, and they're all disciples. But then he looks at the 12 after the crowd leaves, and he says, are you going too? And suddenly Peter has this revelation, and he says, where could we go? Where else can we hear? And where can we get the power and authority in which you speak? Jesus never came to try and make it make sense to us in our natural mind. You will drive yourself crazy if you try to make this book fit into here and understand every concept. You will drive yourself nuts. Let me just set you free today. If you are trying to only understand this from a place of intellect and a place of mental assent, it ain't gonna happen. It is not going to happen. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit that leads us to all truth. It is the governor of the kingdom that he sent that pushes us to a place of understanding so that we can hear what it is that he is saying. It was never supposed to make sense. That's why Jesus was so upset with the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they kept asking him for a sign. You remember last week in Mark chapter 8 where he said, you have eyes but you can't see and ears but you can't hear. Why would you keep asking for a sign if you can't see what's standing in front of you? Is really what he was saying. So now when the disciples respond out of their nature and not from the Spirit and say, oh my goodness, he's afraid because we didn't bring any bread. He's upset because we forgot to bring bread. Jesus understands they're responding out of their human nature. But I like what Jesus says. In essence, this and this is just my theory, but in essence, he turns to them and says, what else do I have to do? What else do I have to do? I've multiplied bread in your presence. I've turned water into wine. I've done all of these miracles. What else do I have to do? Have you ever asked yourself why the miracles that you have witnessed thus far in your life have not been enough to change your thought process? Have you ever asked yourself, why do the negative, fleeting, temporary afflictions that are working for me a far greater weight of glory, why do the negative, fleeting, earthly circumstances have a greater bearing and a louder voice in my thoughts than the voice of God? Why is it that we can't get over the hurt and the pain of our past when God says, he that be in Christ is a new creature. All things have passed away. The old things have become new. It's because the voice of earthly circumstances is screaming in our ears louder than what the Word of God and what the voice of God is in our hearts. I just messed with you. See, I just felt in the spirit that I just hit a wall right there. And it bounced back at me. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach on it just a little bit longer. Jesus is asking, why have the miracles that I have already done for you not been enough to persuade you that I can make some bread if I need to make some bread? I'm going to talk just a little while. I was on my way to hell, and so were you, because of sins that we were not only born into, but that we chose to commit throughout our life. But one day, we knelt at an altar, and we said, I want you to come into my heart, and I want you to save me. And when we got up, we left with an understanding that no longer am I on my way to hell. If he never did one more miracle than saving me from a hell that I deserved, if he never did one more thing, why would that not be enough for me to say, God, you have the ability to do anything that I need done in my life? Why would we allow the old man to be resurrected when we said, I want it cut off and I want to live for you, Jesus? Why would we allow that to come back and have a louder voice in our life than the voice of Jesus saying, I hung on a cross because I loved you. I wanted you to be in reconciliation with me and to be at the place that I designed for you. Why do we allow the voice of the enemy to be louder than the voice of God? It's because our thought process is not set on things above. Why do we have inconsistent cycles in the body of Christ, where one day we're up and one day we're down? It's because it's all determined on what my day looks like when I get out of bed. And if I'm faced with hell in my face right here, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I don't know how I can make it. Guess what? You're still here and you're still breathing. Why? Because he watches over his word to perform it. He has a place for you, and you can't allow the enemy to have a voice in your life that is louder than what God is saying. Why don't the miracles that we've seen? I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. Why would I ever in my life let sickness enter my mind and think that it's going to control me? What have I seen in my lifetime? What have I seen? I've been in services where people come in with crippling arthritis wrapped in a blanket, literally like this, and they're prayed for by the elders of the church, and they leave, and every joint is out, and they're healed. I have a grandfather who looked in a mirror in 1985 and said, you know what? Colon cancer, I'm not going to have you any longer. After suffering for 2 years, guess what? He's going to be 92 this year. Why would I allow the voice of the enemy to be louder than what I've seen? He is still able. And he's asking for a people to be able to hear. What's the dominant voice that you're hearing? Is it what's right in front of you? Or can you hear him whispering, saying, I've got you? I need you to understand that I don't care how dead your situation is, how bad it looks, his word is greater than the death of your situation. You need to hear that today. You need to hear that no matter what it looks like, I don't care what it looks like, if it's transition, if it's financial, if it's physical healing, if it's relational, whatever it is, his word is greater than the death of your situation. John chapter 5, verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you that the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I want you to understand that there has never been a point in history where his voice stopped being powerful. At the very first day when he opened his mouth, and out of his mouth, light flew at 186,000 miles per second. I want you to know that his power then is still powerful enough now to resurrect your situation. How powerful is his word? See, we often think that when he said, let there be light, that the sun happened. No. He had a thought in his mind, and he said, let there be light, and it had to appear because it came out of his mouth. He didn't even create the lesser and the former light, or the lesser and the greater light, until day four. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when he speaks a word over you, there is still enough power in it to resurrect whatever situation you're in. I don't care how dead it looks. I don't care what your bank statement says. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care what anything says. God's word is still more powerful. Ooh, I feel like preaching. We have allowed the voice of the enemy to kill and to stop what God is doing. And we said it's more, it's greater, it's louder, whatever the voice of the enemy says. And God is standing here saying, all I have to do is open my mouth and your situation changes. All I have to do is speak a word and it turns your situation around. Can you hear what I'm saying? He's asking, can you hear what I'm saying? Are you still worried about some bread? Are you so hard? Are you so cold that you've placed earmuffs over your ear and you're not listening? He wants to tenderize our hearts. He wants to tenderize our hearts because he wants us to hear what he's saying. So Jesus asks Peter, who do men say that I am? What's influencing your opinion of who I am? What is influencing your opinion of who I am? Why do you have negative faith about who I am? Because the truth of the matter is we all have faith. We have faith either in the ability that he will Or we have faith in the ability that he won't. And my fear is that when he comes to the church, most of the time he finds faith in the ability that he won't. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Luckily, Peter got it. He said, men say you're a prophet. Men say you're Elijah. Men say you're John the Baptist. But I know in my heart that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, I can tell you've been listening to the voice of God, because flesh and blood, men, didn't reveal this to you. Men didn't reveal this to you. Who told you that your situation couldn't be helped? Who told you that it was impossible for you to come out? Who told you that you would always live with the hurt of your past? Who told you that you were doomed to repeat cycles that you've seen in your family because your daddy was that way, you're going to be that way, and because your mom was that way, you're going to be that way? Who told you that this would happen? Was it flesh and blood? Was it men? Was it a corrupt society? But what is God saying? God is speaking to his people, and he's saying, this is the Christ. This is the Christ. I don't at all have time today to go into what Jesus begins to say to Peter about on this rock I'll build my church. That word ecclesia, there's so much in that. I can't get into that today. But I have to let you understand that Jesus changes his approach at this point. The way that he is communicating to his disciples adjusts and changes. It is literally a game changer for Peter to have a clear understanding of who he was. I want you to hear me today by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you can hear who he really is, it's a game changer in your life. It changes the situation today if you can really hear him. If you can really hear him. Because Jesus says that based upon, Peter, your ability to hear and see me rightly, now I'm going to give you a voice. Based upon the fact that you can now hear, I'm going to allow you to have a voice. Have you ever been around someone who is deaf, but yet they try to talk? They have just they can hear just a little bit, just enough to try to make out a word, and it sounds very slurred, and it's very hard to distinguish what they're saying. Why? Because the hearing is not clear. If your ear is not working, your voice is not distinguishable. And again, God is looking at a church. He's looking at a church who has lost its voice in a nation, not because we stopped talking, but because we stopped hearing. We lost our voice in the nation because we stopped having an ear to hear what God was saying about every situation. The Bible says that in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1, that we are to lift up our voice like a trumpet. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, it says this. It says that unless the trumpet make a clear sound, how can the people prepare for battle? And what's happened is we have lost our voice because we lost our ear, and our voice has no longer been distinguishable. And we've said, are you on this side or are you on this side? And we've had no clear-cut direction in the body of Christ in America because we have wavered to this side and wavered to that side, trying to hear. We'll lean our ear to hear what the people are saying. We'll lean our ear to hear what God is saying. And we try to come to some semblance in the middle. And what God is saying is your voice cannot be clear to a people if you don't have a clear ear to hear what I'm saying.
He's looking for a body that will pay a price to have an ear to hear, not just so that we can hear and stay immobile, so that we can make a clear sound and have a body moving toward a direction to shake the kingdom of darkness. This was literally a turning point for the disciples, because they now had a clear hearing. Jesus could then explain to them a greater depth of revelation. Look at Matthew 16, verse 21. Look at what he says. From that time, when? After Peter has the ability to hear and say, "You are the Christ," from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. The ability to hear God qualified them for a deeper revelation. But it didn't just qualify them for a deeper revelation. It qualified them to hear strategy for the next move in this season. The reason that he tests your ear is to see if you can handle what the next move is. And if you can't handle what the next move is, he can't release to you greater depth of the revelation that he has for your life. And some of you have been stuck in one place, almost like you've been in a rut, because you're listening to the opinions of man, you're listening to the opinions of your past, you're listening to all of these things, and you're not hearing what God is saying clearly. And your ability to hear and see correctly could be keeping you from the revelation you need that will make you free. He did not just give them revelation on anything. He gave them revelation on the cross. He gave them revelation that I am going to a place to die so that you can live. I'm going to a place to set you free, and the chastisement of your peace is going to be upon me. By my stripes, you're going to be healed. And if you can hear this, it's going to make you free for the next season. If you can hear this, I'm going to send another comforter. And when he comes to you, you are going to evangelize the known world and turn it upside down. We have got to get to a place where we can hear what he's saying so that he can release to us the strategy for the next move. It's not just I'm going to another city to do another miracle, to multiply some bread. That's not what it is. I am literally going to Calvary to change the course of human history. And if you can't hear it, you can't be a part of it. That's the sad part, is that if you choose not to hear it, you miss out. This is not a gospel of all inclusion if you don't do what he says. Every time there's a word of God, there is always an if and a when. And if Peter can't hear and the disciples can't hear, then Jesus cannot release the revelation for the next move. He told them that he was going to change the course of history. And Josh, come on. I want to so bad, but I can't go in today that the greater depth of revelation stumbled Peter again. That he thought he was ready to hear it, and when he hears it, he goes secretly to Jesus and says, "I'm never going to let you die. I'm not going to do that to you." And what does Jesus say? After saying Peter's a rock, after saying that flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, he looks at him and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're stopping the will of the Father." If you can't hear clearly, you become a stumbling block for the will of the Father in the earth. That's awful harsh. No, it's love. It's love that says, I love you so much that if you'll get this right, I'll set you free forever. Not just in a moment, Peter. Not just temporary satisfaction, Peter. But if you can get this right, I'll set you free forever. And if we can get this right at Awakening Church, if we can have an ear that's inclined to hear what God is saying, He's saying, I want to change the course of history through you. If you can hear it. If you can hear what He's saying. You can hear that there's more to this life than stress and problems and work-related stress and financial stress. There's more to this life than what we look at. He doesn't want us to walk around with eyes and not be able to see and ears and not be able to hear. So what do I do? What do? I position myself and say, God, what are you saying in this situation? What are you saying, God? Please, oh God, let your voice be louder than my conscience. God, let your voice be louder than the media. God, let your voice be louder than Facebook and Twitter. God, let your voice be louder than Fox News. God, let your voice be louder even than what I saw in my past. God, let your voice be louder. Let your voice be dominant. He's not looking for bread. Why is he not looking for bread? Because he is the bread of life. He is everything that we could ever need if we can just hear it. If we can see it. This is the last thing I'm going to say, that if we hear the word and it doesn't move us to become a doer of the word that we heard, then it gives us a misconception of the truth of that word. We literally, I want you to hear that. If you do not become a doer of the word that you hear, it forms a misconception of the truth of that reality. Let me prove this to you in the Bible. James 1, 22 and 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That if you're a hearer and not a doer, you deceive yourself. That's what it just said. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, watch this, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. If I hear the word of the Lord and I do not do what I hear, or his word does not move me to action, it gives way to the enemy to come and twist the truth that I just heard, and I then have a misconception of what it was I heard. That if I allow the word to come in me and not take root and not then bear fruit, then that word becomes a misconception and my understanding of it is twisted and jaded. That, my friends, is what I believe has happened to the body of Christ. We heard this word as a whole. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about the body of Christ globally. We heard this word But we stopped doing what was in this word.
Damon Thompson says all the time, when you get to heaven, God's never going to ask you, did you read it? He's going to ask you, did you do it? Did you do what is in this word? What are you talking about? Did you seek first the kingdom of God, or did you seek for man's approval? Did you seek first the kingdom of God, or did you seek your intellect first? Did you seek first the kingdom of God, or did you seek your talents and your abilities? I don't need bread. He's telling us today, I don't need bread. I need somebody to be able to see me rightly so that I can build my ecclesia, so that I can build my church, my governmental body. That's what I need. I need every veil removed from your ear so that you can hear me, so that when I bring correction, you can hear it clearly. But not just when I bring correction, but when I bring the love of the Father, you can hear that clearly. And it's not jaded by the love you've experienced by a natural person. Can you hear the depth of what I have for you? That's what he's asking today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I hear you calling today. I hear you calling and I hear you asking. Does anybody have an ear to hear what I'm saying? God, I just pray today that you would circumcise our ears, that you would remove every filter. God, that the voice of man would not be the dominant voice in our life any longer. That the voice of a twisted cultural media would not be the dominant voice any longer. God, I pray in the city of Louisville that the governor, the Holy Spirit, would be the dominant voice, that we would hear him testify of who you really are. That we would hear him. God, in our personal life, God, in my personal life, Lord, don't ever let me put more stock into my failures than I do your successes. God, don't let me be like the children of Israel. God, because they did not remember your works and how you brought them out of Egypt, that you consumed their lives with futility. Oh, God. Do not let Awakening Church be consumed with futility because we can't remember and we can't hear you. We want to know you. We want to hear you. We want our voice to be distinguishable in this city. God, we want our voice to be distinguishable in our families. We need to hear you rightly. We need to hear you. Ask our leaders to come to the front. If you're here today and you say, I have things clouding my ear, I have things that are clouding the way I hear, and I don't care, even if you've come with the leadership, if you've walked up here, but you say, I need to hear you clearly in situations. God, I need to hear what you're saying. If that's you today, I just want to ask you to be man and woman enough to say, you know what? I need to hear him rightly. I need to hear him rightly. I need to know what he says about me. The screams of failures in my past are drowning out his voice. The screams
of trying to fit in. It's haunting me and I can't hear him clearly. You can leave different today. You can leave different today. You say, I just want to hear him rightly. I just want to have a clear path between his voice and my ear. I don't care what position you're in right now. I don't care if you're...
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast from Awakening Church. You can find us at 1725 Research Drive in Louisville, Kentucky, or online at awakeningky.com.